Tonight I just want to look around and I think about who's that guy he's talking about, but he keeps calling me by name, so I assume that it's me. Amen? It's amazing what the pastor's talking about with Brittany and what's going on with her, but I want to preface tonight by just saying this as we endeavor to share what God has laid on our hearts tonight. We've been talking about the last few nights, last few times that I had opportunity to talk and preach was about just counseling.
Amen.
Good godly counsel.
Oh, yes.
And how it is so important in our lives. And if I could say something about good godly counsel, as we have been looking at that, I would say that, you know, everything that God had impressed upon my heart, mm-hmm. I've had a chance to practice that in the last few weeks.
Yes, sir.
And it all kind of begins with Brittany. And I think about what had happened with her and just the things that went on when we talk about counseling and giving good godly counsel. And how do you give good godly counsel is that you are humble enough to receive godly counsel. In order for you to give good godly counsel, you have to be a recipient of it as well. But also, if you're going to share it, let it be from the Word of God. And I realized that this week that the counseling that I was able to share with her came from experience as well. And how God impressed upon my heart some things that helped me make some decisions that I made. And Wednesday night, we talked about how we can defy godly counsel because we don't want to receive it. And we should always be open to it because we have not arrived. And as much as we can think that we know certain things, we don't always know everything. And we should be willing to allow someone to share some truths with us. And so Brittany being Brittany, this week, and I was thanking you all for praying for her and helping Teresa and I to give her good godly counsel as to what she would do. And we talked with her about it, and one of the things that I said in the messages a couple of weeks ago was that we never want to allow our counselors to be forced to agree with us. Because if we force our counselors to agree with us, then we don't allow the Spirit of God to take the Word of God that counselor can use to be a blessing and an encouragement to us, because we don't allow them to share what God has laid on their hearts to share and the way it needs to be shared. And one of the things Teresa and I never want to do is to try to make Brittany feel as if we're trying to force her to do what we believe she should do. We want her to decide what she does because she believes that's what God would have her to do.
Amen.
And sometimes as a parent, it's hard to do that, but we have to be able to ask God to help us not to be that person.
Amen.
And this week, as I was sharing with Pastor, didn't share all of that with him, but I sought some godly counsel myself.
Amen.
And one of the things that out of the counseling that I got was that, you know, as a father, God gives you the opportunity to be able to do what you're doing because you truly believe that God is working and leading in your life.
Amen.
And to be told that they see that I take the responsibility that I have as a father very seriously, the responsibility I have as a husband, I take it very seriously, the responsibility I have as even an assistant pastor, preaching and teaching and sharing the Word of God,
Amen.
I have taken it very seriously.
Yes, sir.
And I want to be transparent with you tonight about some things when I'm talking about this. Because when God shows you some things and give you an opportunity to share with someone, let it be because the Spirit of God is leading and working in your life. And as I was talking with her, not wanting to pressure her, I told her what I thought that I believed that God would have her to do. Don't look at what you don't have, but look at what you do have. Because if we start to look around and we compare, when we talk about ungodly counsel, we start to compare what other people have because they're ungodly. And when we look at the ungodly as to what they have, we can never see the godly that we have because of what we have. It's not because, it's because of who God is in our life. And I was trying to share that with her, and she felt like we were pressuring her. And so I'm going to make a long story short. So as I was telling her and showing her how I believe that when she had an opportunity to take a job in Arizona, and she turned the job down. I wasn't against her turning the job down. I believe she made a good decision based on the things that she was going to be doing. It wasn't going to be an upward move. It was just be a lateral move. And the lateral move was not going to give her financial, help her financially to be better. It was probably going to put her even in the same situation. And not that you were failing, even if you came back to Tucson.
Amen.
So if God opens a window, I mean, God closes a window, he opens a door.
Yes, sir, he does.
And when God closes a door, he may open another window of opportunity. And as God closed the door there, he opened another window of opportunity. She had an opportunity to go either to North Carolina for an interview, or she had an opportunity to go to to Cleveland for an interview. Well, again, God closed another door.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunity in North Carolina closed, so now the one that's there before her is the opportunity to go to Cleveland.
Oh, amen.
Well, if you want God to show you what he would have you to do, there is a sense of a process of elimination, because if God closes a window, he opens a door. And if we believe that God is leading in our lives, then if we truly believe that, then we have to step out by faith and trust that God is leading in that. And it may not be all where you can just see everything, because if we could see everything that God wants us to be faced in our life, most of us probably wouldn't take a step out the door. But anyway, and I'm wanting to give her good counsel, and she thought that I was trying to tell her what to do. And again, I'm trying to make this short. But as she did that and said that, she had said she wasn't going to go because she felt like I was pressuring her to go. But I was just trying to give you good godly counsel. So as I thought about it, I said, well, Lord, I pray that I'm not doing that, because that was not my will to do that. And I'm at work and I'm thinking, should I call her? Because, OK, Friday, she's got to call them back to tell them what her decision is. And I got wind of it. She had already told her mother Friday morning she wasn't going to go, because she felt like I and her were pressuring her to take this position. So I'm saying, well, should I call her? Because if I call her, then she feel like I'm pressuring her anymore, even more. So I'm walking around work thinking, well, should I call her? I'm just calling. And then all of a sudden I look at my watch, because I got one of these watches, the phone rings, and it's Brittany. And she said, Dad, you got a few minutes? I goes, yeah. She said, I needed to talk with you because I don't know what to do. And so we go through this step of what I just kind of just shared with you guys. And I said, well, what are you feel pressured about? Because I want you to tell me what it is that is on your heart. So she tells me, I don't know what to do. Can you help me? And so she said, because I got about 30 minutes before I got to call them and tell them what I'm going to do. And I said, okay, well, let's begin where you want to begin at. Where you want to begin at for me to try to help you. Well, look at what you would be making. We went through all of the process and all of the bills and what this would be and what that would be. And when it all boiled down to it, I said, well, now you ain't going to be a rich person, but you're still going to be better off financially than where you are right now.
Amen.
I said, because, again, don't look at what you don't have. I've already heard you talk about your friends and this person. They told me that you're being underpaid and this and all that. You can't look at what you don't have. Look at what you do have.
Yes.
And the opportunity that you would be able to further advance your career, go into something new, learn more, and then you have a resume. Yeah, maybe you have to sign a contract, but when I joined the military, I signed a contract. When I got out of this job, I was trusting God to give me, when I retired from the military, I was trusting God to show me what he would have me to do when the job that I'm in right now presented itself. I just praise God that he showed me that was what he wanted me to do. And I didn't go. Y'all don't remember. I'm going to get to the message tonight. Just hold on. We went to North Carolina, Virginia, by way Georgia, come all the way back. Didn't have a job, but I was trusting that God was going to provide.
Amen.
I could still enjoy Christmas and the holidays, because if I had a little money, if I didn't have a job when I come back, I wasn't going to have a job if I'd stayed. So I went through all of these things about how God showed me how he works in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so that's how God works. If you believe that that's what God would have you to do, that's how God works.
That's right, Pastor.
And we went through that process, and I showed her that, and went through all of that, and I shared with her how even my boss, I said, here's another thing. The job from in North Carolina, she felt pressure because this guy was emailing her, but he was telling her that I don't want to stand in your way if you have an opportunity to go to Cleveland, because we can't guarantee you that we can hire you in this job because there's a job freeze at our company and we're not hiring. I said, Brittany, that's a blessing, because he's answering your question as to what he can't do for you. I remember when my boss that hired me in the job that I had, the job was open for almost a whole entire year, and he would not tell me that he was going to hire me or not hire me for the position. He didn't put in the paperwork to hire me until he got on the plane the day that he PCS. He dropped the paper off at the personnel office, got on the plane, flew out to Korea, and they called me and sent me an email telling me I had got hired for that job.
Amen.
I saw him a year later or a year and a half later in the BX surge walking around. He looked at me and I looked at him, and he said, I know you. I said, yeah, you should know me. You hired me in the job that I'm in. And he said, you know, I want to tell you something. He said, you know why I didn't hire you until the day I left? I said, I always wanted to ask you that now that I'm seeing you. He said, because I didn't want you to put your eggs in my basket.
Oh, amen.
He said, because if you'd have dropped your paperwork a year or so before that job, actually, because anything can happen in the military system, and they could decide they weren't going to hire. And he said, if I'd have told you that I was going to hire you for that job and you'd have retired months before and the job closed and you would have been angry with me. I said, that man in North Carolina is part of the process and how God works. The door is closed.
The door is closed, Pastor.
So now you got to make a decision as to what you're going to do. I said, so should I wait until you tell me later on what you're going to do? Or do you want to tell me now?
Pastor.
And she said, Dad, I think I'll take the job.
Hey.
I said, well, let's pray. And we pray. And now we're on our way to Cleveland. But I said all that to say this, and I'm gonna keep the message short and simple tonight. We preached on Wednesday night about let this mind be in you,
wow,
which is also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God,
like,
but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and let me get it right, because his word always do justice. Amen.
Amen.
And it says in Philippians chapter 5 and verse number 2, chapter 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and became obedient, took upon him no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to death on the cross.
Amen.
Because he was willing to humble himself. And I think when we think about counseling, we talked about Rehoboam. Rehoboam mm-hmm. didn't want to humble himself. So when those godly men came to him to give him advice, he didn't want to do what they had advised him to do. And that was to serve the people.
That's right.
See, if you're going to get godly counsel, you have to humble yourself.
Amen.
You have to be willing to do what it is that God would have you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was to be, for Rehoboam, it was to be a servant.
Yes, sir.
And he didn't want to be a servant.
Mm.
And if we're not willing to be servants and to humble ourselves before God, then we could never accomplish and do what God would have us to do.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient, even unto the death of the cross for you and I. And it took upon him the form of a servant. In other words, he became like we call it a deacon, and willing to serve, because he was willing to get good godly counsel. I mean, godly counseling.
Amen.
It leads to being humble before God, because you don't always have the answers.
Amen.
But you got to believe the person that's counseling you is a godly counseling, and you ask God to show you and guide you, God is showing you. But Jesus was willing to humble himself. And as I thought about that, I thought about Psalms chapter number 1 as we were come here tonight. When you think about good godly counseling, we won't talk about that tonight, but I want to talk about tonight the person that God blesses.
Amen.
We go to Psalms chapter number 1. Let's all stand. We're going to read Psalms chapter number 1. And I want to share three thoughts with you tonight from Psalms chapter number 1. When I think about all of this that has unfolded before me to help me to believe in what this Bible says, as the man told Pastor and I, y'all keep going back to this old book. Some of you may be able to quote Psalms chapter 1 because it is a great chapter and verse. Amen. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Father, thank you again for tonight. Thank you for the blessing. And Lord, it may have been somewhat of a different introduction as we come to this tonight, but I believe in my heart of hearts, Lord, that you have something to encourage me tonight as well. And I pray that it would be a blessing and encouragement to your people. Father, I pray that you empty myself, fill me with your spirit. God, forgive me of any sin of what could be a hindrance to that which you would want to say, thus saith the Lord tonight. I pray you bless those that are down. I think of my wonderful wife tonight, Lord, who's not feeling well and probably because of me. But I just pray that you would bless and work in her life as well as we've passed on some things to her. And even those that are not with us tonight for whatever other reasons may be, I pray you bless now in your midst of your people. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. As I think about what I just shared with Brittany and about what God wants to do in our lives, it's amazing to me when I think about the message of my thought tonight is that a people or the person that God wants to bless. He says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law shall he meditate day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth, the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." I think about the person that God wants to bless, and he says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." See, God doesn't want us to walk in ungodly counsel. God wants us to walk in godly counsel. I want you to think about it. One of the things I want to think about tonight, the person that God blesses is the one that's willing to separate himself from the world. There has to be some separation in our lives if we want God to bless in our lives. I think about even in the book of Genesis, God goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 28. And the Bible says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and to multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish, over the sea, and over every fowl of the air, and over every living thing." From the very beginning, from Genesis, God wanted to bless man. And it wasn't until sin came into the world that it broke the relationship that God wanted to have. And so sin comes into the world now. So we're not in right standing with God, but God still wants to bless us. And he always wanted to do that. And he wants to bless us with all of the things that he wants us to have. I think about Ephesians 1 and verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us in all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." You know, if you're here tonight and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God has blessed you by giving you salvation, but he wants to bless us with all spiritual blessings. And we always want to hold on to the material blessings. We're not going to really be blessed of God, because God blesses what? Spiritually. And I want the spiritual blessings in my life more than I do the physical or the monetary blessings, because if I got the spiritual blessings in my life, all of those other things will fall into place because God wants to bless me. And I think about when he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, the Christian life is a walk. And we got to be walking with God and walking in the Spirit of God if we want God's blessings in our lives. I'm afraid so many Christians miss out on the blessings that God wants us to have because we don't want to walk with God the way that we ought to be walking with God if we want God's blessings in our lives. So he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. People that God blesses are careful that they walk is right, their thoughts, and it's not, they are not in the world, even though we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And we should separate ourselves in such a way that there's a difference in our lives, and the things that we have a desire for, the things that we love, are different than those things that are of the world. And if we're not careful, we will be searching and seeking after the things of the world and not seeking after the blessings that God wants to have, wants us to have. Because it may not be a dollar figure. It may not be the physical things that we're looking for. And that's the thing that I'm trying to get even my daughter to see. Don't look at what you don't have, but look at what you have. Because God has blessed you, and God has blessed your mother and your father to be able to help you with where you are right now. And we're just trying to give you some encouragement in what we believe that God would have you to do, because when God shows you what he wants you to do, it's far better than what mom or what dad could tell you. But you got to believe the God of heaven yourself. You can't take my faith and live on it. You got to have the faith that you need to serve God and live for God, because you can't live in mom and dad's coattail.
That's right.
And I'm afraid a lot of Christians today, we want to still live in the world. We want to have one foot in the world, and we want to have one foot in church. Well, I might even say it ain't going to happen in church, because we won't even come to church either.
Amen, Pastor.
We don't want to separate ourselves from the world. And we'll go and get godly counsel and godly influence from people who don't know God. I haven't met anybody at my job that has helped me to see things spiritually.
Amen.
I haven't met too many people in my family who are helping me see things spiritually. But I know this, and it's like Miss Hall saying, you know, when you're just having a tough time, you can just go to the Word of God, and it's just so good. It's the only thing that's going to bring you any peace. It's the only thing that's going to bring you any lasting peace, fulfillment, and joy. It's going to be what you get out of this book.
Amen.
And I've been encouraged, because he tells me, if I don't walk and see after these things, I'm not going to be satisfied.
Right.
But I want you to think about it tonight. It is so funny, as I thought about this message, my Sunday school lesson went right along with this ungodly counsel. Think about old Peter. When the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Peter started out, believe it or not, in John chapter 18 in verse 8, Jesus told him to let these others go when they came to take him because they wanted to crucify him. He's already told his disciples that they were going to kill him. And he said, let these others go because they're not who you want to go. So Peter, being the Peter that he is, he decided so boldly, I'm going to still go with Jesus. It's almost that Jesus said, if you're going to walk with me, you're going to have to separate yourself from some things. And we were talking about it this morning, Miss Faithy. We were talking about how in our Sunday school class, how that Peter had denied the Lord three times and lied about he didn't know who Jesus was, because Peter really didn't want to walk with God. And the Bible tells us he kind of followed him a little far off, because he didn't want anybody to know that he was one of Jesus's disciples. And the ladies accused him and said, weren't you one that was with? No, I don't know him.
Yeah.
And another one saw him and he denied it again. And then what happened? Peter, not only did he start walking after the world and walking to set himself apart from God, but he began to stand by the fire.
Amen.
And it wasn't long before Peter stood there, and in Luke chapter 22, it tells it a little bit different of a story, and it tells how Peter got to sit down. and warmed himself by the fire. And he was denying his Lord the whole time. And I'm afraid some of us are just like Peter. We want God's blessings, but we want to be a little far off so nobody knows that we really are a Christian. And see, if we start to walk a little farther from Jesus, it won't be long before we'll start to sit down. Amen. We won't be long before we start to stand in the ungodly. And before we know it, before we start to stand, as Peter stood by the fire, he began to sit down and he got comfortable in the things up that were ungodly because he didn't want to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the same picture that the psalmist is painting here. But blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth, because he started to stand by the fire. And he got so comfortable, he decided he'd just sit down and warm his hands. And started, the Bible tells us, he started even cussing and speaking and talking just like the others, because he didn't want anybody to know that he was a Christian. And I'm afraid a lot of times we miss the blessings of God because we don't want to separate ourselves from the world. I can't live Brittany's life, but I tell her this. I'm just being transparent. If you want God's blessings in your life, I'm going to tell you one thing that you need to do, and maybe you need to start afresh. You need to be in God's house on a regular basis. You need to give God what he's due when it comes to tithing. If you want God's blessings, you need to spend regular time in the Word of God. If you want God's blessings. See, I don't want to be a parent, because if I'm helping you, I don't want to be putting my finances, because God is holding me accountable for, I don't want to be putting them in a bag with holes in them. Amen. I'm just being honest with you, because I want God's blessings in my life. And I don't want to not honor God by how I spend even the 90% that God has given me. Because I'm accountable to God. Because I believe blessed is the man that walketh not like the world, who wants to separate himself from the things of the world, because he believes that God will bless him.
That's right.
Because of that. See, we got to realize tonight, if we want the blessings of God, we need to separate ourselves. And not only do we need to separate ourselves, we need to saturate ourselves. Look at verse number 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate, what? Day and night. I need to saturate myself in the Word of God. I need to meditate on it. I need to memorize it. I need to meditate. I need to memorize it. I need to read it. I need to study it. And I need to do it day and night. I think about Joshua 1:8. And this book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it, what? Day and night, that thou might observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. I got to saturate myself in the Word of God.
Right.
How am I going to help her? If this book is not real to you, you can never help anybody else.
Yes, right.
So I got to separate myself, and I got to saturate myself, as he's telling us here in the Word of God. I need to do it day and night. I need to meditate on it if I want to be fruitful and if I want to be successful in my Christian life. Because I want those things in my life. I may not do everything that I ought to do the way that I ought to do. But the things that I know that I ought to do, I ought to try to do. And the things that I try to do, I want to do those things so that I can honor God. I hope I keep the due to do and that to do and the right to do to keep it right so I can do the right things that I need to do. Don't ask me to say it again. Amen. But that's what I want to do for my blessings. So I need to separate myself and I need to saturate myself.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
In the Word of God. Because it is the only thing, as Miss Hall has already said, that is going to help you when things don't seem to be going the way that they need to go or the way that you want them to go. I think about it. Meditation is the soul. Meditation to the soul is what digestion is to the body. I think about every time that I read this area of scripture, one of the greatest examples that I always think about, I grew up on a farm, and I used to go out there sometimes, and the cows would get out. And we had to go out there and get these cows in. And they'd be smelling. And that, you know how you got, when we get that little snow, not snow, where you get that little stuff coming from your mouth when it's cold and that hot air comes out and you get all that, what do you call that anyway? That stuff. And the cow blowing out all that stuff, right? And he eating that green grass. And he eating that green stuff, and you see him chew it. And if you know anything about cows, they got more than one stomach, right? And that cow, and he sits there, and he gets to grazing, he gets to eating, and he fills up those stomachs. And sometimes they get so stubborn, they don't want to move. They want to just lay down. And they, when they lay down, what they're doing is they want to lay there now, and they want to regurgitate and bring all that up out of the stomach, and they want to chew it a little bit more. Because now he's really getting all the good nourishing and nutrition that's in that stuff that he's eating. So he regurgitates and brings it all back up. And you see him just chewing. It looks like he's chewing on his cud. But he's really eating that which he's already digested. And that's what meditating on the word of God is like. And he said we don't just do it daytime. We need to do it at night. Matter of fact, we really ought to do it all the time. And it would help us through what we're going through, because we need to be saturated with the word of God. When we saturate our minds with the word of God, we believe what the word of God says, and it's going to help us in our Christian life.
Right.
It's going to bless us more than when we do without it. I don't know about you, but sometimes about this time on Sunday night, I get a little hungry. Because what I had for lunch is just about gone. And even the nourishment that you got this morning in the Sunday school and even in the morning service, you know what? You may need a little bit more, because there's a pretty good time a while before Wednesday night so you can get yourself refilled. But you ought to be able to take what you've consumed today and just kind of regurgitate it and bring it back up so you can just kind of meditate on it so it can help you to Wednesday.
Amen.
And you can be back in the house of God. But you know what? Y'all not just wait the Wednesday. Tomorrow morning, we ought to get up and get right back in the word of God.
That's right.
Tuesday morning, we need to get right back in the word of God. Wednesday, we need to get right back into the word of God. Because we need it that much. And Joshua said, if he's going to rule these people and he was going to be a blessing to the people, God told him, you need to be in it day and night. And whatsoever you do, shall what? It's going to prosper, because God wants to bless his word. He tells us that his word will never return unto him void. Not just winning souls, but it will make a difference in your life, because it's not going to return unto the Lord void. It's going to accomplish that which he pleases. And we need it in our lives. We need to meditate on it. We need the separation, but we need also the saturation. I got one more and we're going to be done. Not only does God bless him because of that, but Jeremiah 15:16 says this: thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. Jeremiah got it right. The psalmist got it right. He says, the word of God is sweeter than honey in a honeycomb. God's word is so good. It ought to be so good to us. You know, sometimes I think about Ezekiel said it this way. In Ezekiel 3 and verse 3 says this: and he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll, which is talking about the word of God, that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. You know, sometimes we get the word of God, and it may seem like it's a little bitter going down, because we don't want to take in what it's saying. But it's so good to us.
That's right.
The way it ought to be.
That's right.
God's word ought to be that good. And we hate to be without it. We got to have it. I want to hear it preached. I want to hear it recited. And you know, when you hear somebody read something and they ain't in the King James Version, I'd be like, I don't want to hear that.
Amen.
I want to hear the good stuff.
Yeah.
Amen. So we see we need to be separated. We need saturation, but we also need to be situated. Look at verse number 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. When I say situated, you know, when he's talking about that water, it's referring to the Holy Spirit of God. He wants to be just like a river in you, flowing and running over. And when we allow the Spirit of God to be what it wants to be in our lives, he tells me he shall be like a tree. I was thinking about this. I don't know if most of y'all remember when we used to come to our house, we had this big old tree out in front of our yard. And that was the most beautiful tree. But you know what happened to that tree? The Arizona wind got it. But why it blew it over was because the roots weren't down where it needed to be. And sometimes I'm afraid we as Christians, we're not situated in the Word of God and in the Spirit of God. We have no root. And so we don't have no root, we have no fruit.
Amen.
And when the storms come, the wind blows, it blows us all out of whack. We don't know which way we're going. We don't know what to do because we're not rooted the way that we need to be. And Arizona is a perfect picture. If you can live in the sand, you're not going to have much fruit. That root needs to go down. Even sometimes it get to the cliche, or they call it cliche, ain't that what they call it where it's so hard, but it needs to get down even past that, because that tap root needs to go down so deep that it'll get the nourishment that's there, the water that's there, that's what's going to help it to be able to stand and to grow. It's just like the Christian life. And he says if we will let the Spirit of God, is what he's talking about, it's going to bring forth fruit in its season. And I'm afraid a lot of us are going to be like that fig tree that Jesus said he's going to just tear it down because it wasn't doing anything. It wasn't bringing forth any fruit. John 7 in verse 37 says this: in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Christian here is compared to the tree that is getting its water from the deep hidden springs under the desert dry sand. You must send, or we need to send our spiritual roots so deep, we want them to go so deep down into the things that Christ and draw up the spiritual water of life. That's what God wants us to have. Jeremiah 17 in verse 7 says this: blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful of in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Psalms 92 and verse 12 says this: the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Verse 13 says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Too many Christians are so concerned on what's on the outside that there's nothing on the inside.
That's right.
Because we're not really rooted in the things of God and allowing the Spirit of God to flow over in us and be controlled. So we need to be separated. We need to be situated, situated and saturated. And if we want to bring forth some fruits, unless the Christian, as we said already, spend time in the Word of God daily, praying in the Word and always allowing the Spirit to feed them, they will wither and die. I don't know about you, but I tell you, when I don't read and have my devotion in the morning, I'm like a hip out of joint, because something just ain't right.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
I need it. And people coming at you from every walk of life. Brittany calling me, and everybody wants you to do something. Mr. White, can I get this? I want to just say, leave me alone.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
But I just had to be calm and say, you know what, God, you got something you want to do even through all of this, because I want to hear from you.
Amen.
I want to help my baby. And I need your help, because I don't want to do it on my own. I want her to be blessed because I want to be blessed.
Amen.
But I realized today that I need to be separated from the world. I need to be saturated in the world. And I need to be situated in the Spirit of God so that He can be in control. Because I want to be blessed. And God wants to bless in your life. But are you bearing fruit today? What kind of fruit are you bearing? You know what? If you have no root, there won't be no fruit. And I, you know what? I can't judge the heart, but I can sure be a good fruit inspector.
Amen.
And when you look at a person's life, there ought to be some fruit.
Amen.
I think about Galatians 5:22, and how it tells us the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. There ought to be some love in your life. Joy. There ought to be some joy. He says there's peace, and there ought to be some peace. And long-suffering, as he talks about, and gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. That's what ought to be coming forth in our lives. I think about Hebrews 13 and verse 15. It says this, that by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I thank the Lord for all that he's doing for me. I can't thank him enough. I realize so much every day that I am just so unworthy of God's blessings. And when I think about that, I'm not bragging on myself, but I just realize sometimes, you know, if you just be honest with yourself, don't you know some days you just know that you're not what you ought to be? But I know that, but I know, you know what? God still loves me. He's still long-suffering. He's still patient. He's still blessing me. And if I confess with my mouth that I have sinned, he forgives me. And I fail in so many times, in so many ways. But I'm so glad he's still God. He's still on the throne. He's still in control. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, how to do it. I'm glad he does, because I don't know what I'm doing sometimes. But I know that he does. And I can depend on him. Because he says, I never leave you nor forsake you. And you ought to be able to take that song we've been singing, and I've been humming it. I don't even know which verse. All of them sound good to me. I think just the melody has kept me going all week long. But when I ain't got a melody, I know I got a word. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That's my word. That's my life verse. And he has been true to it all of my Christian life. What kind of fruit are you bearing today? Because if you're not willing to separate, saturate, and situate, you're not going to have fruit in your life. You're not going to have God's blessing. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I think I didn't do too bad, amen? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings. And God, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be in your house tonight. God, I thank you so much for your word. And I thank you for the opportunity that my pastor gives me to preach and to share the truth. And I know that his people, my people, are precious to me. And Lord, I want to be a blessing to them. And I pray that tonight, just being somewhat transparent, that we all would be honest with ourselves, that we fail sometimes. But I'm so thankful that you love us and that you love me. God, I pray that tonight's message has been a blessing and an encouragement to your people. I pray for Brittany and the decisions and the choices and the things that are before. Help me, God, to be the kind of father that can be a blessing and encouragement to her along the way. God, I thank you for my pastor and family. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ and just being so attentive tonight. And again, I pray that tonight's message has been a blessing. And thank you again for being God and blessing. Maybe you're here tonight and I don't know your heart. I don't know where you are spiritually. But I do know this, that if you continue to walk after the things of this world and trusting in those things, they're going to be disappointed. But if you're here tonight and you're not 100% sure that heaven will be your home, I would challenge you tonight to let someone take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. See, God only blesses those that are know his son, Jesus Christ, his Savior. That spirit we're talking about, that water can't flow unless the Spirit of God be in you that has birthed you anew. And you have to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And maybe you're here tonight and you don't know that. Let someone take a Bible and show you how you can be sure. And from that moment on and that time on, you can be walking the way that we talked about. You can be separated because you have what you need. You can be situated because you are where you need to be. But only because of what Christ can do in your life. Let's all stand at our feet, heads bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Maybe we're going to have Miss Natasha to play a hymn of invitation. Maybe God has spoken in your heart tonight about something that you need to do. Maybe an old-fashioned altar that you need to come to this tonight and ask God to help you. Maybe something has been said or something has been done tonight that has been a blessing and encouragement to you. You want to ask God to help you to separate yourself from this world. So that you can be saturated the way that you need to be situated where you need to be situated. I'm going to ask our pastor to come. He closed how he sees for you tonight.